Tonight's scripture comes from the book of Psalms, chapter 122, verses 1 to 9. It says, I rejoice with those who said to me, let's go to the Lord's house. Now our feet are standing in your gates, Jerusalem. Jerusalem is built like a city, joined together in unity. That is where the tribes go up, and the Lord's tribes. It's the law for Israel. To give thanks there to the Lord's name, because the thrones of justice are there and the thrones of the house of David. Pray that Jerusalem has peace. Let those who love you have rest. Let there be peace on your walls. Let there be rest on your fortifications. For the sake of the family and friends, I say, peace be with you, Jerusalem. For the sake of the Lord, our God's house, I will pray for your good. Now, we were standing around out here just a few minutes ago discussing jokes and everything. So, well, I've come up with one. And there was this man who, his mother came to his bedroom door and she flung open the bedroom door and she said, you got to get up. You're going to church. He says, I don't want to go to church. She goes, but you got to go to church. He says, I'm not going to church. She said, you're a 40-year-old man. Get up. Let's go to church. He says, give me two reasons. She says, one, you're 40, and two, you're the pastor. So, thanks. Thanks, Linda. All the other masses are just laughing internally is what it is. It's true, though. If you'd have attended council meeting last night, you'd have found out that I've got this whole anti-negativity campaign going on in my life. I have officially dropped 75 people off of Facebook. Boot, they're out the door. I give them one strike and they're done. Second time they say something negative, to the greater social beyond for you, because I don't even want to hear about it. We live in a world too much wrapped up in drama, don't we? We live in this world that seems to just want to grab us and hold on to us for so much. And I've decided in my life that the old saying from the 70s, leave the drama for your mama because this boy ain't playing. Don't want no part of it. There's no time in my life to be able to stand back and say, okay, I want to hear all about your little bitty problems. You know, I'm here for people's problems, but when you make them out more than what they are, really? You kind of separate yourself from people. You find out that There's times when people are just the negative Nelly in the room that folks kind of shy away from them. You know, it's kind of, here they come. And you just kind of walk away and let them just go be negative on their own. Because negativity is just something that we don't have time for. We really don't have time for. When I sit back, every morning I take our prayer list and I pray over our prayer list and I really focus on what's going on in people's lives. In the last 9 days, we've had 8 major illnesses or injuries happen here in our church. We don't have time for childish behavior, to be negative. You know, just for example, I was just on the phone about 10 after 6 with Marv Enstrom, and Ann is in the hospital now, and they think Ann has COPD, and, you know, that's a huge blow for an older couple. You know, so they don't need to hear the negative problems that everybody seems to want to focus on. And tonight's psalm, as I was really, really studying and thinking about it, it says that God really does deserve our worship, don't he? 100% God deserves our worship. Now, I can look around at the masses gathered in here tonight, all 7,200 of us, and really look at the crowd and say that most people are saying, well, I'm going to church tomorrow, so I'm not going to church on Wednesday too. And there's a lot of people that say, well, I got church on Sunday, so I'm not going to church on Wednesday. And a lot of people say, well, it's going to be pretty weather. We can get the boat out, we can go do this, we can go do that. And it separates us from our worship because God deserves 100% of our worship. He doesn't deserve playing second fiddle to anyone at all. No matter what our problem is, we separate ourselves from God. And if we look at the negativity that we have in our life, that separates us. In worship, we discover how to respond to life's ups and downs, don't we? When we come to worship, don't we learn how God tells us that we should respond to our ups and downs? How we can, you know, there's folks that say, okay, you're going to have to take this book and you're going to have to really, really get real theological in there, Pastor, and you're going to have to tell me exactly where it says how I can handle my wife having COPD. Well, read it and you'll find it. You'll find out where the passages in the Bible will give you comfort and will give you strength and will renew your spirit so that you can handle life's ups and downs. So if you miss that worship, you miss that opportunity. We discover that faith means trusting in God even when life doesn't make sense. Several years ago, I preached a sunrise service on Easter morning, and a family attended the worship service, and we had breakfast afterwards, and it was a great time. It was a great time. The worship was awesome and things like that. Then I preached our traditional service a little bit later in the day. Immediately following the traditional service, I was contacted. A young man who had been at the contemporary sunrise service. For Easter, his dad gave him a new dirt bike as a gift. That afternoon, he hit a tree and died, 18 years old, on Easter morning. We can't answer why. We can't answer why, when negative or bad things happen in our life, why they happen. We have to realize that we have to go through faith and be prepared for when those things happen, we're not walking alone. We realized several weeks ago that whenever we go to the garden, that we don't go alone. There's only one person who's ever been in the garden alone. That was Jesus. Since that moment, we've never been alone, have we? We've never been alone, and no matter what we're doing, if you are at the highest of highest points in your life, Jesus is there. And if you're at the lowest of your lowest points in life, Jesus is there. No matter where you're at, he's there. So he deserves our praise. He deserves our worship. And if we look at a little bit further, it says, why does David say, let's go to the house of the Lord? Why does David say that? He tells us because he knows that family, our spiritual family, will be at the house of the Lord. So whenever we have those times that we feel like life is just raining down on us and it just keeps getting deeper and deeper, and there's some guy not using a shovel to fill the hole in, he's got a backhoe and he's just shoving it in. There's family there to dig you back out. Now, it might not be a genetic family. It's a spiritual family who will lift you up. And you hear so many people in the negative world say, that church family don't have anything to do because all Christians do is they gather around, they gossip about this person, they gossip about that person, and most people come to church just so they can hear the dirt on everybody else in town. Well, that's the people that are trying to find an excuse why not to give God the worship he deserves. Am I right? That's those people that are negative. We look at it a little bit further. He says, he knows that we will learn more about life. He knows that we will gain strength for the coming days. If we really search our soul this week and we really see the strength that we need to face what our Savior went through. If we flash back to the garden, Jesus cried out to his Father. He says, is there any way you can take this cup from me? Any way you can take this cup from me. He said that prayer many, many times that night. Many, many times he cried out because he felt the anguish of the world raining down on him. He felt the hole covering in on top of him. And he walked away. And he searched for help, but he couldn't find it. And he came back, and what did he do again? He fell to the ground and he prayed again. Can you take this from me? And in the final stanza of that particular piece of passage, Jesus stands up and says, your will be done. No matter what it is, he knew he wasn't walking alone. He knew that his Father was going to be walking beside him the entire way. So as we come into the house of the Lord, we got to realize that we've got to give all of our worship back to him. We've got to pour out 150% of what we got inside us. We can't hold anything back. Because when we hold it back, we're stealing from God. Because God asked us to come into his house. Into his house. He asked us to humble ourselves, to break ourselves, to pour ourselves out just like he did in the garden. Whenever it's just too heavy to bear, dump it out. When it gets even more heavy, dump that out too. And then when you're done dumping, stand up and say, your will be done. And you realize at that point the celebration that you experience in the true worship of God. Because God's blessing you. He's pouring abundance out upon you. If we look in verses 6 through 9, it says, when attending worship, we often are in search of something. David is calling for peace. But how can one truly find peace? Peace is the absence of conflicts, isn't it? When we look at someone's negative reality around them, we see conflict. The best thing we can ever do is separate ourselves from that negativity. We can't separate ourselves from people because we're called to pray for people. We're called to be there in intercessory prayer for people. We're there to lift folks up when they can't lift themselves. We've got to realize that when God says pop, he means pop up. He don't mean pop down. He wants you to be involved in other people's lives. He wants you to really experience their life for them, because for some reason the world has rained down on them so much that they can't experience the life they need. They can't experience the joys that are there. They can't experience the opportunity to gather as 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8 of us in this room and really experience what love's about. How we can come in here and listen to the song by Matt Redman of Holy. And we just kept pouring it out. We didn't know the song, but the words were speaking volumes to me. I don't know about you, but they were speaking to me. Because God is holy. 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 God's blessed me with an abundance in my life. He's blessed me with a beautiful family. A great, great congregation to serve. And he's placed a goal on my life. On my life, he's placed this goal of being able to be the hands and feet of those who can't be. He's placed on my life the opportunity to stand before you and say, hey, I'm a broken person. I'm a weak person. I'm a sinner. But with that, he pours out the peace and the grace that we need to experience. To find peace of mind and peace with others, we first must find peace in God. And if you can't find peace with God when you enter into the house of the Lord, you're coming in here for the wrong reasons. If you come in here and you sit there and you think, well, the pastor's story is too long. It doesn't make sense. His jokes are off color. His dress is terrible. His grammar's terrible. His math doesn't work. His family, well, they're just a little wild. If you're focusing on all that, you're forgetting to focus on this. If you're focusing on the person sitting next to you, well, so-and-so was over at so-and-so's house doing this, the other, who cares? That's their business, not yours. When you come into the house of the Lord, if you separate yourself and you put yourself in a negative environment, you never can experience the true peace that comes with worship. You never can experience that opportunity just to release yourself and let the music flow through you, hear the scripture come in one ear and resonate in your heart, and just hold on to so when it hits your mouth, you can go out and share that story with everybody around you. That's opportunity. The title of tonight's message is Not in His House. When we carry negativity in our lives, we cannot experience true peace. By forgiving those whom we have issues with and praying for them before ourselves, we start to find that peace. When we lift up the negative Nellies and the negative reality that people live in, before we pray for ourselves, we really start to experience the peace. If you ever notice, every time in Scripture when we read the Lord talking and praying, he's always lifting up somebody else and not talking about himself. Because we've already had the blessing. We've had the blessing that we've been introduced to the Savior. We've been introduced to Christ, and we can hold on to that forever. Forever. We know him. We should always be positive about that. Even when the sermon might step on your toes a little bit, might bring a tear to your eye, might bring a laugh from your mouth, you should experience that you were introduced to Christ. Somebody took the time to pray for you to make sure you could find true peace. To come and gather and worship your holy name, Lord. I thank you for the opportunity to come in as believers with a positive attitude and leave even being more positive than we were when we started. Lord, I thank you for the opportunity to experience peace in your house. In your Son's holy and precious name we pray. Amen.